Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well. What a wonderful day the good Lord's given us, and glad y'all are here with us tonight. Also, those of you tuning in to First Pentecostal this evening, we just welcome y'all. Just pull up your chair and let's just get ready to worship the Lord. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and do prayer requests first, as we always do. Let's all stand if you can. Respect for the Lord. Praise God. Does anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? All righty. Anyone on the left side, a spoken prayer request? Well, that's great. That's great.
Anybody ever spoken?
I don't know.
Sister Hooks.
Yeah, they had a date.
I think it was on the tape.
Yes. Yes, and there are a lot of prayer requests coming across the text blast. And as we had talked coming in this evening, there are a lot of suffering now with sinuses and the sickness going around. So we're just going to ask the Lord to touch each and every one. If you have an unspoken, just show by the raising of your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your name. Lord, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Dear Lord, as we come together, dear Lord, may we just be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, ready to praise and worship you, but most of all, dear Lord, ready to receive your Spirit, to receive the word that's laid out before us this evening. Lord, again, we thank you for your love. We thank you for all the many, many blessings, this beautiful weather you've given us. Lord, now, as we open service, we also want to lift up those with the teen class and those young people with the Bible study this evening down in their class, dear Lord. Continue to bless them and just let your word just enrich in each and every child. Lord, again, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we just ask you to touch each and every prayer request. Lord, we know you've seen the hands that were raised. Dear Lord, you know the depths of our heart. And Lord, we're just releasing each and every situation over to you. We thank you for the healings, dear Lord, for the provisions that you provided for so many that's come to you in prayer already. But dear Lord, we lift you up and we honor you. We give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Praise God. While you're standing, turn to page 277, Redeemed. Really care for this song. Sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Trouble and sorrow I've vanished away. I have been redeemed. Well, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now reside. I have been redeemed. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. All the way homeward my praise shall flow. I have been redeemed. Well, I'm redeemed. I love divine. Yes, Lord. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now reside. I have been redeemed. Precious indeed, my Savior to me. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. And happy in glory someday shall be. I have been redeemed. Well, I'm redeemed. My love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now reside. I have been redeemed. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now reside. I have been redeemed. be seated if you can. We just want to continue spirit of worship and just allowing the Lord just to minister to us this evening. We were all laughing and cutting up here just a couple of minutes ago, and I just want to say how much I love each and every one of you. It's wonderful that the comfort and the peace I feel as I walk into the service, and for each of you and all your prayers and all that you contribute each and every service that we have. Just want to tell y'all thank you very, very much. For you watching online, we really appreciate y'all too. And the ones that aren't with us tonight, for whether it be work or travel, or that are sick and shut in, just know that we're praying with you and we're looking forward to you joining us again. Praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. I don't have any announcements up here as we get ready to finish this month. All righty. Oh, Brother Betsy, that's right. Thank you, sir. Well, Bits, if you'd ask the Lord just to bless our evening offering, please.
Bless.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
It's really strange how God works. He knows where we are and what we say all the time, don't he? I know Tom and I were sitting there this afternoon, and ever since my little episode the other day at the doctor and my heart rate just went so low and everything, then it's kind of been like on the forefront of my brain. And we were talking about funeral arrangements. And it's just, that's something we don't like to talk about, but I don't want my kids to have to make those decisions, and I certainly don't want my husband to have to make that decision. So I'm going to try to sing a song tonight. It's been a long time since I've sang it. And listen to the words, because it can't be anything any more truer than whenever a saint of God goes home, that you celebrate them home. Y'all worship the Lord. When the time comes and I'm standing at the river that separates the two worlds that I and between my precious friends and my family, and the place of peace that's waiting up above,
hold my hand and stay there by my side. When I finally step into the tide,
celebrate me home, celebrate me there,
celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone. Celebrate me home. I have spent most of my life on earth preparing to take the trip from here to heaven's door, with the shield and word of God to guide me. It's a comfort knowing I am not alone. So when I take my final fleeting breath and fade into the gentle of death, celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone.
I was thinking as Sister Linda was singing that song, the Perrys sing that song. And, you know, when he passed away, his wife and son sang that at his funeral. I watched it and I was thinking, wow, he sang it all those years and they were celebrating him home. Amen. I told her the other day that I call her Mama Linda. Me and her are really close. She's from Moultrie, Georgia. That's where my family's from. My dad, and she went to school with some of my family. And I told her the other day, I said, if you would have left this world and didn't tell me you love me one more time, I'd be mad. I said, you can't leave without telling me one more time that you love me. I'm going to try and sing All My Hope. I'm going to get Sister Penny to help me tonight.
Thank you.
I've been held by the Savior. I feel far from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. I'm no stranger to the prison. I've worn shackles and chains, but I've been freed and forgiven. I'm not going back, I'll never be the same. That's why I sing, all my hope is in Jesus. Is gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. There's a kind of thing that just breaks a man, breaks him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord. Then he picked me up and showed me what to do. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood.
Praise God. I'm going to change up the routine just for a little bit, but I'm going to ask y'all to help sing a song as we get ready, and then we'll turn it over to Brother Eddie. But you know, as we're talking about all our hope is in Jesus, and it's interesting that, or wonderful that she was singing that song, because my heart's been on victory in Jesus. So God, I'm going to ask y'all, let's all join. Normally we have special singers, then we get right in the Word, but let's stand and just praise the Lord, and we're going to do victory in Jesus, Miss Penny. Page 120. Most of y'all know the words. Praise God. Victory in Jesus. And there he is.
Save. Yes, ma'am, you certainly.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Many is thankful for the Master's strong hand. Amen. He is able to do all things, and we're so thankful that God still intercedes. Still believe in prayer, don't you? Still believe God answers prayer, and it's so good to know that we have the honor and the privilege. Amen. And not only that, but we're encouraged to go to the Lord in prayer about anything, sometimes everything, that we face down here. You know, I haven't said anything about Mother lately. She's just kind of sleeping and resting and getting weaker. But every once in a while, she will surprise me by something that she says. Most of the time, it's you can't understand what she's saying. But every once in a while, she'll say something. And I think it was yesterday morning when I go out to feed her. It's pretty early, so I'll go ahead and turn the light on and get her kind of roused up and wake up before they serve the breakfast. So I walked in and I walked over there and I said, "Hello. Does anybody know Julia Child, the cook that used to?" Mother went, "Hello." I had to look again, see who was in her bed, but I just couldn't quit laughing. And then she started laughing, you know, so I don't know, that would just did me so much good. Well, I'm not a rich man with diamonds to bring. I'm not one for saying I can do anything. I'm nothing but no one, just one more grain of sand, except I've been touched by strong hand. Sing it with me, church. Oh, I feel the touch of the Master's strong hand, leading me on through this weary sunland. Footsteps will falter, too wide the cup to span, except for the touch of can't comprehend. If that everyday burden seems to fall without end, when in life's room full of empty you helplessly stand, wait for the touch of the Master's strong hand. Oh, I feel touch of the Master's strong hand, leading me on through this weary sunland. Footsteps would falter, too wide the gap to span, except for the touch of the Master's strong hand. Are you thankful for his hand? Oh, it's such a comfort to know that we have the Master's strong hand there available at all times. We do have a letter I'd like to read. You will recall several weeks ago we had the different churches gathered together and had a wonderful fellowship meeting, and also we received a love offering. And it is for, or it was for, the Pregnancy Resource Center of Carol Harrelson and Hurd. And we have a letter from Carmen A. Stamps. Is that the lady that spoke? I can't remember. This is the executive director. It says, "Dear Pastor Allen, thank you for your work in making this year's Baby Bottle Boomerang a huge success. It was with your commitment that this campaign has raised at the moment $90,607.74 with that bottle still coming in daily. So this is over and above the love offering that we received that night when we had all of the churches together. Words truly cannot express how good or how God has abundantly blessed the PRC through our Bible bottle. That's like baby buggy bunker, baby bunkers. Through our baby bottle boomerang this year and years past, your congregation as a whole thus far has contributed $4,175. It is so evident that God blesses our obedience to Him and multiplies all that we give. We are so thankful to everyone for their participation. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I'll put this back there so you can read the letter in its entirety, but I thought that was great. You know, God blesses the effort. And it may not seem like our donation is that much, but the Lord just is able to multiply that, and it's for a wonderful, good need. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, praise the Lord. And by the way, it's so good to see each and every one of you. It's good to see your smiling faces. Hadn't it been a wonderful day? A glorious day, just a beautiful day. It was so nice today. Penny got me out in the yard working and planted her some beans and some tomatoes and she said, we, and I said, do what? And I said, are you not going to change clothes? She said, no, I'm not going to do that much work. I said, well, I'm going to have to put on some dirty clothes to get out there. But anyway, we thank God for the little piece of garden spot that we have, and looking forward to it producing some fruit. We're going to the book of 2 Corinthians tonight in the 13th chapter, Paul's writing. Chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, verses 1 through 6. Paul begins this letter. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretold you as if I were present the second time. And being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to youward is not weak, but is mighty in you, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for this opportunity. And those who have gathered here tonight, Father, I pray that you would just pour out your anointing and your blessing, God, upon this congregation. Help us to be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. And Father, we do remember those who are sick. Many are afflicted. We know that you are a healing God. And I pray, Lord, right now that you would touch and anoint those that stand in need of prayer. Father, I ask you to bless this vessel tonight. God, speak to us that you'd have us to hear, God, and anoint these lips of clay. God is to be nothing more than a messenger of your word. And we'll be careful to give you praise and honor and glory. We ask it in the precious and holy name of Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. Tonight, for just a little while, in Paul's writing there, if I had a message title, it would simply be Know Yourself. K-N-O-W. Know Yourself. And I have a reason for putting that, because Paul's instructions here are very exact. They're very precise. First of all, it sounds like, how many has ever gotten a letter and you can almost feel the, the attitude that the letter was written in? I remember the company that I worked before, you know, when we was doing firing off emails and constantly back and forth, and we had several meetings on writing emails, because the way that you write it or the way that you type it and the way that you intend it to be sent may not be received as you thought it was. So they're being very careful with your verbiage and what you say. But Paul is sparing not any words. He's telling them almost with frustration, this is the third time that I'm writing to you basically about the same thing. We've talked about it the first time and even the second time in the mouth of witnesses, but yet
we still hear of these things going on in the Christian church there at Corinth. And now that it was a body of new converts and believers, and you got to understand, Paul wasn't there every Sunday either to preach. So Paul was, he was not really a pastor. He was an evangelist, and he started churches, and he went around preaching to different churches, but he constantly wrote letters and epistles to those established churches. And he kept receiving this information back that this church, or the church at Corinth, was being a little bit, if you want to use the word, kind of unsettled or rebellious. Basically, what had happened, judgment had seeped in to the congregation. Not divine judgment, but personal judgment of one another. People began to tell on one another. People began to scrutinize other folks and begin to look at them and point out their shortcomings. And how many knows if you want to do that, you can find something. Amen. Didn't matter who you look at, you can find something. But Paul said, no, that's not what we're about. You know, we're Christians and we're supposed to love one another. And they even got to a point where they were questioning Paul's anointing, that he was even a voice or a man that was speaking on behalf of Jesus. Because word had it that he was a sinner before he got saved. Word has it that he persecuted the church, which was the truth. How many is glad that our past sins are not broadcast all over for everybody else to see? Amen. You know, what was it, the Hulk? You know, he said, you know, you wouldn't like me if I'm green. You remember when he turned green? Hey, you wouldn't have liked me before sanctification. You would not have liked me before Jesus Christ entered into my life. You know what? And you know what? I better like you now that you're born again. And I better like one another, or we better like one another, and love one another as Christ has loved us. So you can almost feel the frustration that Paul writes to the church. But he writes to them before he arrives. Kind of putting down a little groundwork of what his sermon is going to be about, and letting them know that he's going to come and he's going to pretty much lay the law down scripturally. Man, how many knows you can't get even with the congregation from the pulpit? That's no place to do it. You read the Word of God, you preach the Word of God, and if they get mad at the Word of God, then you just say, I'm just the messenger. This is God's Word. And that's what Paul was doing. But Paul was trying to tell them and encourage them that you need to be looking at yourself. There was a good friend of mine who worked for the same company that I did for years and years and years, a wonderful Christian guy. And, you know, the company came up with this idea that they would kind of cross-train, and they would take people from shipping and put them in production, and take people from production and put them into sales, and take sales and put them in HR, so that everybody could see what job was required in the other offices or in the other departments of the bakery or whatever that it was, and it caused mass confusion. But you know what it did? It got people to be a little bit more patient with the other departments to know what they were having to go through. Shipping had no idea what HR was going through up there. HR had no idea what shipping was going through. The salespeople didn't have any idea. They just fussed when they got the product, and they had to go. And after they spent a week or two in production, they realized how difficult it was to put out a quality product day in and day out. So everybody kind of began to look at themselves. And my good friend said, you know what I learned from that? And I said, what was that? He said, if everybody would just do their job. Boy, wouldn't that work in the church too? If everybody would just mind their business, if everybody would just serve God, and everybody quit pointing out the difficulties or situations in other people's lives. And this is what the Apostle Paul was going through. And he said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and let you know. I'm writing you a letter about what I'm going to talk about. And when I get there, we're going to discuss this matter. And that's exactly what he did. The church was judging and scrutinizing one another, some even doubting the gospel, and even some doubting whether Paul was qualified because of his past to preach the Word of God. So Paul's preaching, as he gets there, he said he's really speaking on behalf of Christ. Amen. It's not Paul's opinion. It's not what he demands or not what he is telling them they have to do, but he's telling them this is the way Christ wants the church to be. So verse number 5 is very, very important. It was important then, as it still is important today. When I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about the body of Christ. Okay, I'm not really talking about a specific church or this church or anything, but as the body of Christ. More than anything, we are to express love. If you understand the Word of God, the Bible tells us that God is love. We profess to have God in our life through the Holy Spirit, then we are to love one another, especially those that are of the faith. Now, we love others too. We need to look at people with a different perspective. We don't need to judge folks. God didn't call me to judge. He didn't call me to do anything except preach the Word of God. He is the ultimate judge. How many knows he's the only fair judge that there is, because God is all-knowing? So the Apostle Paul comes and the things he tells them through the letter, he says, first of all, I want you, each and every one of you, because I want you to understand what he's talking to, and we're going to get into this just a little bit later. He's not just talking to those that are rebellious. He wasn't just talking to those that were judging folks. He wasn't just talking to those who were still sinning. He was talking to the entire body of the church, the believers, the non-believers, the backslidden, those that were in sin, still in sin. So he says, first of all, I want you, or I declare to you, that you examine yourselves. Examine yourselves. Now, when we talk about the word examine, that goes deeper than just look at yourself. Do most of us pass a mirror when we're getting ready and just kind of give a casual glance and go on about our business? Or do we really scrutinize and kind of examine ourselves in the mirror? You know, this is gross sometimes, but I'm constantly doing this because I can't stand to have that white junk in the corner of my eye when I'm talking to somebody, because I know it looks probably about that big. So I want to make sure that I don't have any of that stuff in my eye. And you know what? I begin to think about that. What could we be that concerned about not having anything in our life that somebody else might want to deem, judgmental or deem offensive to us? And I'm not talking about physical things now. I'm talking about maybe a bad spirit, a frown on our face, not speaking to somebody, not loving somebody, not praying for somebody. All of those things people are quick to pick up on. So Apostle Paul says, rather than you looking at others and seeing their faults and seeing their failures, examine yourselves. And as I was reading that this week, I began to really get in depth about examinations. An examination. You know, there is a DOT physical. And I was quite shocked when I went for a DOT physical. Pretty much, if you're breathing, you can pass. If you can stand on your 2 feet and your blood pressure is not sky high, they're pretty much going to pass you. An eye test, you know, and it was pretty simple. But, you know, if you take one of these examinations now, because of when you reach that prime age of retirement and have to go to a doctor and have a Medicare examination, they got all these kind of questions that it is an extreme examination. The physical part's not that much. They just want to, you know, make sure you're doing okay and check your blood pressure and all those vital signs like that. But the questions and all that it is really, really intense. And when the person is asking the question says, I apologize for having to ask you this question, but it's on the thing, you know, it gets pretty personal. That's an intense and in-depth examination. And the Apostle Paul says, examine not your brother. Examine not your sister, and even not even examine the minister, but examine yourselves. What did my friend say? If everybody would just do their job, if everybody would examine themselves, you know, we could, in fact, examine ourselves under conviction. We could, in fact, examine ourselves and see a greater need for prayer. We could examine ourselves and say, you know what? I'm really not reading the Word of God like maybe I need to. I'm really not getting out of it what I know that I really need to do. I once did. I really worked. I was able to grow spiritually, but I'm not doing that anymore. Doesn't need anybody else to tell you that. You've examined yourself, and you find your weaknesses. Now, when we examine ourselves and we find if there is some weaknesses, then those are some things that we need to work on. And we need to make those weaknesses into strengths. And we can do that if we're not so prideful that we don't say, well, I'll examine myself and I couldn't find a thing wrong in my life. guarantee you there's something somewhere that can need a little improvement spiritually. And that's what the Apostle Paul would say. And I like the way he included everybody. He didn't just point out those that were unruly. He didn't just point out those that really needed a scolding through the Word of God. But he had said, this is forever. We can all use this. In fact, the Apostle Paul, I need to examine myself. I need to examine my ministry. I need to examine my approach. I need to examine the way that I talk with people, the way I conduct myself, all of those things. Because it's easy to point faults and failures out in other folks. But that mirror is there for something. So when you look at yourself spiritually, what do you see? And I'm not asking you to tell me tonight. I'm just asking you, as the Apostle Paul said, examine yourselves. Are you where you need to be with God? Are you as on fire today as when the Holy Ghost came into your life or when you gave your life to the Lord? Are you still just as loving and repentant today as you was the night you knelt and asked Jesus Christ to come into your life? So examine yourselves, and it says, whether ye be in the faith. I just showing up, you know, and I've got a point to this, honestly. Just showing up sometimes doesn't mean that you're living in the faith or you're abiding in faith. I was telling somebody the other day, we were talking about school and talking about attendance or something, and I, you know, this is, it's nothing to be proud of, but it was quite an accomplishment. Over my 12 years of school, I think I had 5 or 6 perfect attendance. So that meant I had to go to school sometimes when I didn't feel like it. And when in the early school age that I was going, you actually received a silver dollar, a real silver dollar, and a certificate, and we were talking about that. And a good friend of mine, in fact, it was a relative, and I won't share his name, but I may have told you this before, but I think this was the third grade. We both had perfect attendance and both got a silver dollar, but he had to repeat the third grade. Isn't that a shame? He was there every single day. Something just didn't sink in. So church attendance alone is not going to do it. Amen? And what the Apostle Paul said, you know, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Are you coming to church to be a part of it, to be involved, to worship and praise the Lord? Are you coming to church to look around to see who's not? I can't believe she didn't raise her hands. I can't believe she didn't go up there and pray. That's the really, really, really slippery slope when we begin to do that. And I'm not saying you backslidden because you do that. I'm just saying examine yourself. Examine yourself. If we would all, everybody just do their job, examine themselves, is what the Apostle Paul was saying. And you got to understand, this is not the first time this happened. This is the third time that he was coming to them about the same thing. Man, there's a time we need to adhere the Word of God, we need to understand the Word of God, and we need to obey the Word of God. So he says, not only examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, but prove your own selves. In other words, test and evaluate yourself. Oh, you got to know this. Most of you know that I really love Andy Griffith of Mayberry. I watch him over and over and over. If you have missed one, just give me a call. I can probably recite it by heart, just what episode that you want to say. But little OP's not doing well in one of the subjects, and, you know, so Barney's wanting to help him out, you know, and I don't know if it's a preamble to the Constitution, or it's one of those things, And he says, you know, you're what? I got it. I know that. And actually, Andy's reading it to him. He says, no, I got it. You can close. I got it. So he starts. And he goes, we. And Andy says, thee. We thee. You know. And he's almost having to tell him every word. And he finally said, no, I got it. You know. So finally, after the whole thing, he's rubbing up, and he's you know, really, really stressing his brain out to be able to recite that. And finally, Andy just reads the whole thing, and Barney said, yeah, I got it. He said, you want to do it again? He said, nope, I got it. Test yourself. Have we really got it? Do we say we're Christian? We say that we are practicing Christian. A practicing Christian has fruit. You man, good fruit. Practicing Christian, you man, helps other folks, prays for other folks, reaches out to other folks. It's not just about them. Certainly we want to be right with God. But a practicing Christian, amen, is good to folks, good moral standards. They treat their family right. They treat one another right. I've even said this. They're a good employee. A Christian ought to be a great employee. In fact, that ought to be one of the things that if you put down you're a Christian, then that employer ought to say, man, I want that person because they're going to do a good job. Because that's what Christians are all about. Be a practicing Christian and test yourself. Evaluate yourself. Now, if I ask you to evaluate me, I am sure I could very much get a lot of criticism, a lot of critiquing, rightfully so. But can we be honest with ourselves? It's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Not only prove yourself, but test and evaluate your walk with God. Lord, is there something missing in my life? Is there something more that I can do? Am I really thankful? Am I really doing what you've called me to do? So those are things that he said. And then finally he said, know ye not your own selves. Now he's not saying, know ye not your own self. You're not supposed to know your own self. He's saying that basically almost in a question form. Know ye not your own selves? Do you know yourself as well as you know others in the church? Are you as quick to criticize yourself as you are to say something about someone else? This was what he was talking about in the congregation or in the church there and Corinth. And then he says how that Jesus Christ is in you. And then he says, except ye be reprobates. Or except you be basically unrepentant sinners rejecting Jesus. And he said, but then he says, but I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. So we're Christians, and we're not supposed to act like reprobates. We're not supposed to get as mad as the world gets, okay? And I know I have to look in the mirror a lot of times and tone it down because of that flesh. I can admit that. I know that there, especially when I'm driving, I need to be more sanctified. I need to be more patient. I know that. It's easy to say. But and that's just one thing. I'm not going to say a little thing because that could be a very big thing, by the way. If that thing is not held in check, it could really get out of hand. You know, and it does. We call it road rage or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, knowing how to control that temper, knowing how to just take a deep breath and say, oh, okay, you know, whatever, and go on. But those are things, he said, but you're not reprobates, or we're not reprobates. We're not unbelievers. We're believers. You know, you might expect that from lost souls or lost folks, but the church should be united. The church should be stand together. You know, we need to draw together. We need to be one. What is the popular thing now at a wedding, the cord of three, the three cords twisted around and becomes one. One is stronger when three unite. Well, you take a congregation. We're stronger when we're united. We're stronger when we act as one. We're stronger when we're not so critical of others or so judgmental of others, and we're quick to see the faults and the shortcomings in our own life. And that's what the Apostle Paul was addressing when he said that. And he said, do you not know and realize your own selves? As well as you are or can critique and point out things in other people's lives. Whether we realize it or not, people are looking at the Christian believers, the church folks today. They want to see something different than what they see in the world. And they should see something different than what they see in the world. They should see love. They should experience love. You know, it shouldn't seem abnormal when somebody comes into the church and says, oh, I felt such love. That should be the norm. That shouldn't be the abnormal thing. And if it gets to a point where they can't feel that love, then we need to check ourselves as a church and check ourselves as loving Christians when people come in, because we're supposed to love one another, as I've already said, as Christ loves us. So the Apostle Paul has written that, and he said, I'm coming, and we're going to straighten it out. Not that I'm going to straighten it out, but we're going to put God first in everything that we do. We're going to live by Him. We're going to live by His commandments and His precepts and His statutes. And that's all the Apostle Paul was asking them to do. Nothing really greater than their ability to do. You know, we're all human. We all have our own weaknesses and all. But we need to strive to be this type of Christian, this loving Christian, this concerned Christian, and this Christian that somebody will look at and say, I want what they've got. And that's the greatest testimony that we can probably give. Sometimes you'll testify to folks and you've never even spoken to them. They've just been watching your life and they see how you react. And by the same token, if in fact we're Christian and they say, I don't want to be like that, then that's what the Apostle Paul was saying, you know, examine yourselves. So the three words that we need to examine, prove, and know yourself. Examine yourself, prove yourself, and know yourself. Nobody knows you better than yourself, amen? You know who you are, you know how you act, you know what you like, you know what you don't like. And we just need, I believe, and I'm not just saying here, I think Christians worldwide need to understand that we are ambassadors for Christ, okay? That's what we're promoting here at First Pentecostal Church, by the way, okay? We love church attendance. We love programs. We love our church. We love the building. We love everything about it. But we're promoting Christ. Again, the little T-shirt that reminds us, it's not about us. It's all about Him. And our life should exemplify that, not just in church service, but everywhere we go, when we work, where we shop, where we eat, everything. We should be a shining light for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you love Jesus? Amen. God is so good, isn't He? He's a great God, greatly to be praised. Would you stand tonight? Love you so much. Appreciate you coming out on a Wednesday night. I know that's not the easiest thing to do. Understand that, but it is so much appreciated. And I believe that the prayers that are given on Wednesday night helps us get through the week until the weekend with the services that we have too. So looking forward to a great time in the Lord this weekend. Continue to pray for those who are in need of prayer. And if you have a prayer need tonight, please bring it forward tonight and we'll pray with you, pray for you, whatever the situation may be. Amen. How many knows God is able?
You want prayer cloth or just want to be anointed? Or just anointed. Lord, in the name of Jesus, cross God on behalf of this morning. God, I pray that you would lead them, guide them, and protect them, God, as they travel. Keep them safe, God. Let them have a wonderful time, God. I pray, Lord, that you help, God, and just keep them safe, but Lord, on the roads, God, keep them safe from all harm and danger. God, we're reaching out to you, Lord, in faith, believing, God, you'll let your guardian angels.
That's even biblical. Not to even plan to take a trip unless you do it in the name of the Lord. So that's right. Biblical too. All right. Yes. Right. Now, yes. Praise God. Well, thank you for sharing, Sister Jenya. And that's true. In marriage, it could be the same thing in a work relationship. You know, so many times we're trying to win a soul to Christ and they're not seeing much difference in the way we react, and they're exactly right. But we're the ones that's responsible for our actions, and we examine ourselves and prove ourselves, amen, and know what needs to be helped out. You know, I could ask you, what do I need to work on? You probably come up with a whole list of things, you know, but I need to examine myself and know that's what I see and that's what I need to work on. Uh-huh. Amen. Y'all sometimes think like twins, don't you?
That's a blessing. I'm very blessed. I know I have to examine myself, but I got a wife that examines me too. Doubly blessed. Brother, come on. Dismiss us before I get in trouble. Thank you, Sister Jenna, for sharing that.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He deserves it. He deserves our praise, worship, and all that He is. All hearts and minds clear. And as Sister Virginia said, and as the Lord brought forth the message through Brother Eddie, we're so blessed to have a pastor that obeys the Lord, and to have each and every one of you, as I spoke earlier, continue to be in prayer for all those prayer requests that have gone forward, those spoken and unspoken. And you know what they are. You know those that have maybe just told you they need prayer or they need someone to help them. And let's be those vessels. Praise God. So we're prepared to part. I just want to invite every one of you to Sunday school Sunday morning. We'd love to have you join us. Let's be in prayer for those that are traveling, that they have a great trip. And again, as we just gave it to the Lord, to keep them safe and bring them back. Those others that aren't able to be with us. So let's just all pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you again, dear Lord, for this opportunity you've given us, dear Lord, to gather together. Lord, for your word, dear Lord, the powerful word that you've given us, dear Lord, that you completely, dear Lord, has shown to us. Dear Lord, may we be the vessels that you would have us to be, dear Lord. May we worship you, dear Lord, and may we be about thy will. Dear Lord, we ask you now, dear Lord, keep us safe. Keep us safe and bring us back at our appointed time. Dear Lord, we just ask for your many, many blessings. Dear Lord, again, for anyone that enters this sanctuary, anyone that comes into this church, Lord, may they feel your holy presence. And also, dear Lord, as we examine ourselves, dear Lord, that anyone that we come in contact with, dear Lord, would know you. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen, amen. Amen.